Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, the worship team's still here. You guys have it rough, too, because you can't fall asleep. Because there's only a few people to watch. So this is definitely different, but we're glad that we can do it. We are... We're not high-tech yet, but we are putting money into it and waiting for a few parts still. And so hopefully over the weeks, we don't know how long this is going to take, but hopefully over the weeks, you'll see some better quality. But we're doing the best we can, and it was great to be able to worship with you. Guys, thank you for coming out. The worship team that came out, obviously part of my family. We had Andrea come with Ryan, and we had Angela with Josh, and Josh is working the back, and Caleb's working the media. So it's a family endeavor here. So thank you, Pastor Rod, as well. Well, we definitely live in different days. 2 weeks ago when we made the announcement, it was not even close to us. And now, obviously, there are people around that are getting sick. And so, of course, we want to talk about that a little bit today. But more importantly, we want to talk about God and the trust of God that we have and the faith. And we've been doing a series. If you have not listened, we encourage you to go and do it from podcast. But we've been doing a series on being rooted. And although we're not necessarily in that series anymore, it still really applies. And I don't think there's more a stronger occasion than when this causes our roots to go deep. And I think of droughts. You know, when droughts happen, a lot of things shrivel up, but it's amazing how some things go deeper than they ever have before to find a water source. And that's the type of people that we want to be. And so I'm going to throw out a lot of scriptures again today. That's what I normally do, and I like looking at the words and what they mean. And so whether it's Pastor Rod or somebody beats him to that, if you guys could put the scriptures, somebody can type the scripture reference up so people can find it. But let's start and go to Ephesians 3. And this has been a key scripture for us with the series. Ephesians 3, verse 16. And we'll pray. So, Father God, we thank you for today. God, I thank you that your word is strong and true. Lord, I just ask that you would anoint me today to be able to bring the word clearly and to articulate what you've put on my heart. God, I thank you in this hour that we do not have to be fearful, that we could be people of great courage and faith and hope. And Lord, we're going to rise up in this hour in that spirit as you fill us with the spirit of might. And so we bless you and we thank you that we can still do it this way, that we can still have communication amongst each other. We just ask, Lord, you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, we have to be people that are different. In this hour, we can't be the ones, we have to be different. We have to be people of great faith, people of great hope. And so that is who we are. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians 3. And I think I said 16, but let's back it up to verse 14. One of the things I want you to make note of is Ephesians. Paul is actually talking to the church. He's talking to the saints. He opens up the book of Ephesians with to the saints. And so you need to know the context that he's not talking about people that don't know about Jesus Christ. He's actually talking about people that know Jesus Christ. And even though he knows his audience, he still says, for this reason, in verse 14 of chapter 3, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he's on his knees praying this prayer, that he would grant you, so he's praying that we would be granted according to the riches of his glory, that we would be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So to me, that tells me that although we could be Christians, we actually could be missing something. Something could be actually hidden from us. And even this whole thing of Ephesians is actually Paul trying to make people aware of the mystery, to unravel that mystery. So I really want you to make note of the fact that he's praying for us to be filled with the spirit of might. And then he says, and he's still praying, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray if you're joining us and you don't know Jesus, this is a great hour to go, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need you to come into my heart. I need you to be the source of my salvation, because there's nothing we can really rely on right now. You know, we for the first time since I've been alive, there's nothing. We got to really be trusting in God in this hour. And so I encourage you, even if you're on a journey, to just stay with us on the journey and you'll get to know Jesus. So he's asking that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And Pastor Gary talked about that last week. That is so important right now, that we are rooted and grounded in love and with each other, with love. So important. But I really want you to make note of that's got to be our mindset. It's got to be our focal point, that God is a God of love. And I say that because there are people that are saying this is the judgments of God and he's angry. No, it says right here that God is a God of love. And I really truly believe that our better days are still ahead and we're going to get through this. And, you know, it's interesting. I wrote this down in my notes. When we want to take an end times, let's get out of here mentality, an exit mentality, we miss the whole point of what we're supposed to be. We're actually supposed to be solutionaries. We're supposed to be people that have solutions. And I really feel like it's not an exit strategy right now. We need an entrance strategy, and we need God to come, the very thing we pray, heaven on earth. And so just be aware, we don't want an exit strategy. We want an entrance strategy. And so I think the minute we think that this is it and we're getting out of here, we lose our ability to be a solution. And I think there's going to be men and women of God that are going to come up with incredible solutions in this hour. And I'm sure they already have things that we haven't even heard about yet. And so make sure that you stay with a heart to go, I love God and I love people, and therefore I'm going to help for as long as I have breath. Says we're grounded in love, and then it says that you may be able to comprehend. So again, it goes to the fact that maybe we're not able to comprehend. So Paul is praying that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so I think of that like, I think you can attend a math class, and I think you can comprehend a math class. And so Paul is literally saying, you know, I don't want you to just attend my sessions and read my letters. I want you to be able to comprehend it. And so we want to be able to comprehend God's love. And I believe there's a part that we play in that. If you flip over to Ephesians 1, again, we look at, and this is something I love to pray and talk about, but Ephesians 1 verse 15 says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened or opened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So I'm reading all that to say that, again, that there's a part that he's praying that we would get that knowledge, that we get that understanding, that we get that hope. So there's a part that we play. I want to read one more or two more scriptures before I just jump into, we're going to actually look at Psalm 91. Turn to Psalm 103 for a minute. Actually, Psalm 46 and then Psalm 103. Psalm 46 and then Psalm 103. I'd say glory when you get it, but I wouldn't hear you. So far, the worship team's still awake. Right, worship team? Half of you are probably watching it online, so they're partaking like you guys. Okay, Psalm 46. I'm still working on getting there. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 4. This is powerful. God is our refuge and strength. That's just great. God is our refuge and our strength, and here it is, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I'd have everybody say it with me, but we'll all be off time. So it says that he's a very present help in time of trouble. Isn't that good to know? That, you know, even Ryan, you were going through some things last week. He was a very present help in time of trouble. And I'm sure you felt him. And I know we've all gone through things where we feel his presence. He is a present help in time of trouble. One more scripture I want to read. Turn to 103, Psalm 103. And I hope today you guys joined us in worship, and in your pajamas is okay as long as you worshiped with us. Psalm 103 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. Again, that's an action. That's something that we have to choose to do. That's something that we rise up and we choose to bless the Lord. And he's literally saying, my soul is going to bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. So everything, every part of us, we want to bless the Lord. And then he says, and forget not all his benefits. That's a great, great promise. Forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. And here's the line, who heals all your diseases. And you know, church, we are big on declarations. We are big on speaking the word of God. So you need to know that there's a promise in the word that he heals all your diseases. And so we want to stand on that. And that's a scripture in the morning. So I'm saying the whole thing about Paul is praying this for you, and I'm saying that there's a part that we play because we have to rise up as the church in this hour, yes, for other people, but it starts when we get up in the morning and we choose to bless the Lord. Andrew, you've had to do that many times, right? You've had to choose to bless the Lord in the midst of your trials, but we know in the midst of it that he still is a God who forgives all our iniquities, and he's a God who heals all our diseases. That's a promise. So hopefully you'll say amen with me. Amen. That's a promise. He heals all our diseases. All right, so we're going to go to Psalm 91. That's going to be our main text, and you've heard Psalm 91 being quoted probably by a ton of people because it has incredible strategy right now for us, and I just want to read through some of them. I also want to show you how the old lines up with the new, but I want to tell you a quick story. Need a drink. So this message is kind of called Hidden in Christ. That's the name I settled on. And I was thinking of when I was a kid playing hide-and-go-seek. We used to play hide-and-go-seek. We had a huge downstairs. It's all bedrooms and that now, but before it was literally just two big rooms. And we had furniture and pool tables and ping-pong tables. We were really blessed growing up. My parents did a lot to, man, that would really be good right now to have when you're quarantined. But my parents did a lot to just try to keep us to have time at home together, and we did have a lot of fun. One of the things we used to do is shut off the lights and play hide-and-go-seek. And I remember this one time that stands out to me, that we were playing hide-and-go-seek, and I hid apparently so well that after I could hear them. I could hear them looking for me and calling my name and looking for me. After a while, I had hid so well that they thought I left and went upstairs. And so they shut off all the lights that were still on. There's a few that were on, and they left. And I remember freaking out because there was nobody downstairs. I was pretty young. But I thought, man, I must have hid so good that they couldn't find me. So I was in a good hiding place. And Psalm 91, we're going to talk about that because there's a promise that we can be hidden. So just like my brothers could not find me, there's a promise about the virus and the pestilence that we can stand on right now. And so Psalm 91, and we're going to start off right in verse 1. We're going to look at some of the words. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's using words, you know, it's going to talk a little bit about feathers and things that we don't normally use. We don't really describe God, you know, feathers would describe a bird, but he's trying to give some analogies to help us understand what it's like. So the first thing, I'm going to kind of go word by word. It says, he who dwells, and that word dwell means to dwell, to remain, like to dwell in a house, to remain in a house. And I love the fact it means abide, but it also means to sit. And it's used 172 times to mean to sit. So it could say he who sits in the secret place, he who abides in the secret place. That word secret, I'm not going to go through all the Greek words for it, or sorry, Hebrew. But secret means a covering or a shelter, a hiding place, secrecy, to hide or conceal. And so I think of when, you know, you hear storm warnings, and we don't have this as much, you know, you think of Alabama and all the southern states, when they hear a hurricane warning, a lot of them, I don't know if they still do or not, but they actually have a place where they can go. They have a shelter where it's their hiding place. It's the place where they hide. And so they can close the door, and that's a safe place for them. And that's exactly what God's describing here. It's a covering, a shelter. So if it's a tornado outside, they're going to be safe. If it's raining really hard, the rain's not going to get on them. It also describes if it's really hot, it means there's a shade where we will have shade. And so it says the secret, the covering, the shelter, the hiding place. And then it says, the next is that word place I want to look at. And that word place, it means to ascend, actually. That's one of the words it means, is to ascend. So it means he who dwells or sits in the secret place or the hiding place or the place that's the ascended place of the Most High shall abide, to remain is the word abide, under the shadow of the Almighty. And that word shadow actually means hovering. And so I say all that because I want to put words to it that I see when I look up these words. It says, he who sits, this is how I would say it, he who sits ascended and hidden shall remain and reside under the hovering presence of the Almighty. And so I'm saying all this because there's a part that we play. Now, maybe you're catching on to some of these words. I want to go back, so put a marker in there, and I want to go back to Ephesians. You guys still with me? My kids can't fall asleep because I can see them. I want you to go to Ephesians 2, and I want to compare Old Testament now and New Testament. Because Ephesians 2, you're going to hear some familiar words. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6. But it says, but God who is, again, words, you know, we want to be anchored in love. But it says, God who is rich in mercy. So our God is a merciful God. A God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Again, mercy, great love. Mercy, great love. Mercy, great love. Even when we were dead in trespasses, that means even before we were saved, when we were sinners, when we were messed up, he still loved us. When we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And you need to know it's not by the works that you do. It's not by the good things that you do, all the trying to be good. It's by the grace of God and faith saying, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, because there's no other way. There's no way I can get to heaven but by you. And if you're trying still to this day to get by doing good works and thinking that if you just give enough toilet paper to somebody and one of your neighbors, you're going to get saved, it's not true. It is by grace that we are saved. And then our life turns around. And our life should begin to turn around. It should look different. It says, even when you were dead in trespasses, by grace you've been saved. Here, verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. It's saying that so you were saved by grace and raised us up together. So if you're saved and you were in that place, he raises us up together and makes us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I believe this. I believe because of Jesus Christ, we have access to be in that hidden place automatically. And I think we have a free access to it. But I really believe this. Just like if I have $1 million in the bank, and I don't know how to access it, it can be useless. And so we need to learn how to access what we have. So positionally, because we're saved, he became sin for us that we might become righteousness. So I'm righteous in him, and I could be, and I am raised and sitting with him, but I want to access the power that that has. And so Andrea and Ryan and Angela, you know, we want to access what God has for us. And so I'm encouraging you that in this hour, one of the things to get that root to go deeper, that we need to put everything else aside and we need to let our roots go deep by accessing who we are in Christ. Not just knowing it in our head, we need to have it go from our head to our heart and all around. And so we have been raised together to sit in heavenly places. Turn to Colossians, just to confirm that in Colossians 3. It says again in Colossians 3, we'll start at verse 1. For then you were raised with Christ. Here we go. Seek those things. You got to seek them. That's an active thing. You actually have to go and seek them. You have to go after what has been given to you. I want access to that $1 million. If I have $1 million sitting in my bank account, I want access to it. I'm going to go after it. And so I'm encouraging you guys that this is what we need to do. We need to go after it. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And a whole bunch of scriptures come to mind. Seek those things, you know. Think upon those things that are pure. Think upon those things that are holy. You know, that's where our minds have to be right now. And then again, it confirms it. It says, set your mind on things above. So, you know, we do have to keep an eye, obviously, on what's going on in our area. But if that's all you concentrate on, it will lead to fear. But I'll tell you, if you get into the Word of God, which is life, If you get into the Word of God and you get fed with the Word of God, you're going to stay full of hope. And in this hour, we need to be people of hope. We need to be people that have hope and solutions for people that have no hope and have no solutions. We need to be able to tell them, hey, there is protection in Jesus. And then it says in verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. So once again, we are hidden. I want to say that definition again that I created based on the words, and then I want to read Psalm 91 out of another translation, but I wrote it this way again. He who sits ascended, which is what we have access to, and hidden. So he who sits ascended and hidden shall remain and reside under the hovering presence of the Almighty. Now I'll tell you right now, we want our houses to be places where God's presence is, right? Right, Andrea? All right. Because when God's presence is there, when the lamb is there and the blood is on the doorpost that we talked about the other day in Exodus, the enemy cannot enter in. So we want God to be hovering. This is what the Passion Translation says. Psalm 91:1. It says, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. I'll read it one more time. Passion Translation. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, or the Almighty, that's the word, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. So when you grab a hold of that and you sit and you go after what you have access to because you are positioned in that place, you can begin to say, man, I have access to all this. All right, back to Psalm 91. I want to read a little more. This is a key for us. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him I will trust. I love the fact that it doesn't say, I will think of the Lord. I love the fact it doesn't say that I'll write it down. It actually says, I will say of the Lord. And when I went back and I looked at the cross reference, the first time that word say is used, it's used when God spoke and things became. So when God spoke and God said, let there be light, that's the exact same word as the word say, I will say. And so church, I want you to know this. It's not enough to think that he's our refuge. I want us to be a church that begins to declare on a regular basis, on a daily basis, even as you take communion, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. So we're going to all say that together, even with the six people that are here. Ready? And you say it at home. 1, 2, 3. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Can you guys say it with me one more time? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. I encourage you guys to start. That's part of getting into that hidden place. You know, I'm thinking when I had to get into that hiding place, I remember it was between couches and I must have had a blanket or something over me. I had to get in. There's something that I had to do, and there's something that he's saying that we need to do. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. And I think we need to say that a lot right now. My God, in him I will trust. Now, here's the promises that are awesome. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The fowler is one that hunted birds with using traps. So it literally says he's going to save us from the traps of the enemy and from the perilous pestilence. Now, I know I've heard these words before, but I want to look them up. Listen to this. Pestilence is the word that says it's a deadly or violent epidemic disease. That's the word pestilence. A deadly or violent epidemic disease. So I don't know about you, but that sounds like it fits. A little later, it's going to say, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. In verse 10, no evil shall befall you, and nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. That word plague is an epidemic disease that causes a high mortality or pestilence. So we've got two words that is a promise that says pestilence won't come near us and a plague won't come near us. But again, it goes back to positionally, we have the right to be hidden. But it also is encouraging us to go after it. Every day, begin to say, I will say the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. I gotta jump over to one more scripture real quick. You can go there if you want with me. Turn to Isaiah 26:8. I'll tell you when we get there. 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Again, here's what we get. Here's the promise. You'll keep us in perfect peace. How? whose mind is stayed on you. I talked about this a couple months ago now. That word mind is creative imagination. So it's literally saying, again, there's action to it. You're going to keep us in perfect peace if we keep our creative imagination focused on him. So we go back to Psalm 91, and we can keep our mind, our creative imagination focused on him if we get the truth deep down inside of us that he is our refuge, he is our fortress, he's the one that I'm going to trust. And if we don't get that deep inside of us, our imaginations are going to go and we're going to begin to think about, what if this hits our house? I better go and get more food. I better store up on more toilet paper. I better, you know, and we should be obviously having wisdom. We need to buy supplies, but we're talking about what we've seen over the last 2 weeks where it's ridiculous the amount of supplies that people are getting. You know, we want to be wise, but we also want to be generous so other people can get toilet paper. And so be aware that your imagination and your mind is going to cause you to go to places you don't want to go. But this says that we have refuge and he's our fortress. And what is he our fortress from? It says he shall deliver us from the perilous pestilence. The pestilence, again, is he shall deliver us from deadly, violent, epidemic disease. So we have something to stand on in this hour. We can say, Lord, I thank you that you will, because we trust in you, you will deliver us from this. Come on, that's good. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Can I say that? Are you shouting at home? It's definitely interesting doing it this way. Then it says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Again, such powerful words. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid. Everybody just say that. You shall not be afraid. I said that earlier. We read that. We read that in Psalm 46, was it? Psalm 46, God is our refuge, a present help in trouble. I might not have said it far enough. Therefore, we will not fear. The Bible says over and over again, we will not fear, we will not fear, we will not fear, we will not fear. And so this again is saying, you are a shield. Therefore, we shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence, that epidemic that walks in the darkness. That darkness is literally saying when you can't see it. And this is an epidemic we can't see. You know, they can't figure out how it's spreading. It seems to be so easy, but we have a truth that says even in the darkness when we can't see it, we'll be saved from it, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And then here's another promise. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because why? You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So I'm really going to wrap it up. So church, it's not enough to know it just positionally. That we have that. That is who, none of us have to fight to get it. There's a promise that we are seated in heavenly places, but I really believe that we have to be active in taking the benefits that come with it. There's a part that we have to say, Lord, I thank you. This is the truth. Because I'll tell you, in this season, I have a good imagination, and it's easy for me to imagine if I'm not careful. So I have to be very active to go, I will keep my mind focused. I will keep my mind focused. I will keep my imagination focused. I will not let my imagination go to the dark places. I believe we're going to come out of it. I believe they're going to find something for it sooner than later. I believe that life will go back to normal. I believe we're going to do great things. Honestly, my hope is in the Lord. I don't get up every day worrying if this is the end times, because again, end times makes me think that I have no solution, but I have a solution. God wants me to be a part of that solution. So as long as we're around, and I believe it's going to be a long time, we're going to keep focused. Amen. There's lots to still do, people that still need to know Jesus. So I want to encourage you on a daily basis to take communion and to speak Psalm 91. And I don't want you to just think it. I go back to verse 2. I will say of the Lord. I want you to be people that speak. I will say of the Lord. And this is from the youngest to the oldest. We say he is our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our God. In him we will trust. Amen. 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 I want to read one last scripture verse. And then I'll be done. Turn to Proverbs 14 with me. I got three different translations I want to read it out of. Any questions coming up, Pastor Rod? We good? Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, we're going to take communion. Pastor Rod got it ready, which is perfect. And if you can, we're going to take communion together, so you may want to take a second and go grab something, and we'll give you a minute, but I want to read these scripture verses. Proverbs 14, two verses, 26 and 27. So the first translation, King James. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. When I looked at that, I thought, right now, Lord, we need confidence in you. And it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children will have a place of refuge. Did you get that? If we fear the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. Confidence in what? That we have a place of refuge. And then it says this, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. So powerful. I'm going to read it again. This is now the Amplified. In the reverent fear of the Lord. So if you're wondering what we mean by the fear of the Lord, a lot of times it's to be afraid. And there is, of course, that he is almighty and he's the king and we need to have a reverent fear. But he's also our friend and he also loves us. But we need to understand that he is still God, he is still king, and we should have a, like if I were to see the king, if you think about even just seeing somebody that's famous, we get all nervous and we get, you know, oh my goodness. Well, how much more, not in nervousness, but should we realize that this is the king and we should have reverent fear for that king. But in the reverent fear of the Lord, there's a strong confidence, and his children will always, that's the Amplified, his children will always have a place of refuge. Man, that's a great promise. Andrea, you will always have a place of refuge. So you can begin to say that. I fear the Lord, and I have a righteous, reverent fear of the Lord. I have a place of refuge. The reverent fear of the Lord that leads to obedience and worship, two important keys. We need to be obedient this hour and worship, is a fountain of life. I love that. It's a fountain of life so that one may avoid the snares of death. All right, one more translation, Passion. Confidence and strength flood the hearts of lovers of God who live in awe of him. And their devotion provides the children with a place of shelter and security. To worship God in wonder and awe, listen, to worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you, empowering you to escape death's domain. Man, that is so powerful. We need to get that typed out on there. I want to read it one more time. Confidence and strength floods the hearts of lovers of God who live in awe of him. And their devotion, my devotion, provides me, a child of God, with a place of shelter and security. To worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within me, empowering me to escape death's domain. So listen, you could spend a lot of time, and I'm not saying it's wrong, because I'm watching a bit of Netflix right now, of course. There's lots of time if we're not always working. But if that's all we're doing right now, we're missing it. Man, we need to learn to be worshiping at home. We need to be learning to declare the scriptures at home. We need to be learning to go, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We need to be looking at these scriptures going, I have strong confidence that when I worship the king, he cannot get around me. It literally puts a hedge of protection around us. And so church, we're going to rise up in this hour. Our roots are going to go deeper down than ever before and deeper across than ever before. I want to encourage you, hopefully you've been called already, but we have split our church into two groups. Pastor Rod's looking after one group. I'm looking after the other group. And under Pastor Rod and myself, we each have 6 to 7 leaders that are looking after 6 to 7 individuals or families. So you should have been contacted. If not, please let us know. You can even type that in right now. Hey, I've not been contacted. If you are not part of Antioch, but you are alone and you want to be covered, you can type that in too and say, listen, I'm by myself. I don't have a local church right now. If you do have a local church, your ties should go there. If you go to a local church, you need to get connected in that local church. But again, if you do not, please let us know. We'd love to connect with you, love to keep you covered in this hour. Do not walk this alone, right? It's very important right now that we stand together. I encourage you to make sure you get online. It's so awesome that we can worship together. We're going to do it as long as we can. Again, thank you guys for coming. All right. So one last thing. I'm going to pray this over you. You can listen to the song, which is written from, called The Blessing, that Carrie Jobe and Stephen Furtick and the team, Cody Carnes, put together. But I want to read this. And so everybody get into receiving mode, because this is what would be spoken over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Come on, church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and we have that promise. And may he be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, or shalom. And shalom has a bigger meaning than just peace, refuge, safety. It's all that tied in. And so we speak that over our congregation, every person that's watching. Donna in Africa, we just pray a blessing upon you. We pray God's face to shine upon you. Lord, I thank you. I pray a covering upon our entire body in Jesus' name. I pray the blood of Jesus over our entire body. Those that are watching, those that are not watching. And we pray, Father God, you will be victorious in this hour. We will be people full of hope, because he who has the most hope has the most influence. And we are people of influence. And I thank you in this hour, we be people that have solutions. Solutions for our neighbors. That could be salvation in Jesus. That could be a roll of toilet paper. But Lord, I thank you, Father God, that we will be available to love our community and to love our community well. We bless you. We thank you guys for tuning in. Give us some feedback. May you have a wonderful week. Stay close to your groups if you have any needs. God bless.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.